Welcome back to the Gerwick Report Hotline. I appreciate the phone call. I am Steve Gerwick, and at this time, it's my pleasure to welcome to this hotline a former Tough Enough winner and a former WWE diva. Tonight, I give you Miss Jackie Gayda. How you doing tonight, Jackie?
I'm doing pretty well. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing excellent. I want to first and foremost thank you for coming on the hotline, and we really appreciate your time.
No problem. No problem whatsoever. I'm looking forward to it.
I guess the first question is, what have you been up to since being let go by WWE?
Yeah, boy, I thought that traveling with WWE was a lot, but wait until other things come your way, so to speak. You know what? I've definitely been keeping busy. When one door closes, another one opens, or a few more open, and that's actually been the case. It's kind of like every cloud there's a silver lining, so to speak, and I think I found it. I mean, I've been over to Italy thus far with some wrestling with the New Wrestling Federation organization, which is a brand new federation which is being headed up over there. It was a fantastic time. So look for more in the future with that. Numerous superstars from WWE as well as some current people with TNA as well. And in addition to that, I've been working some independent shows. I just did the Ballpark Brawl this last weekend in Buffalo. Have a couple more bookings actually coming up, and just kind of throwing myself out there. Actually going into the fitness world of things too. I'll be doing a lot of magazine work and things of that sort too. So a lot of things that I was limited with WWE that I was not able to do, but now I am. So.
That's great. Yeah, we just had Charlie Haas on the line a couple weeks ago, and he was mentioning that you were going to do some more fitness-type modeling, and where might we see your pictures in the future?
Yeah, actually, I have a photo shoot out in L.A. the end of this month, which is going to more than likely be going to Natural Muscle, Muscular Development, Oxygen, those kind of magazines. So within the course of the next few months, you know, in the turn of the year, you'll probably start seeing me pop up here and there. So it were things that I was offered before, but like I said, I was not able to do just because of conflicts or whatever it was with WWE. So just keep your eyes peeled, and I'll keep you posted as much as I can too.
We would appreciate that, and keep us posted, and we'll definitely keep the callers and the readers definitely informed on what's going on. And I guess the question for you with WWE is, why do you feel the WWE let you go?
You know what? There's a million different reasons for, I should say, no one will give you the real reason. Actually, people were baffled, from all the agents up there to even a lot of the writers up there. To why I was let go. I was told by pretty much, Vince's right-hand man, so to speak, and people right underneath him, you're a versatile girl, you're one of the last few that really came in, to the wrestling as a wrestler, with Tough Enough and everything, and, valet, manager, anything you need, TNA, or if I need to take a bump from a guy, I'll do it all. So, I really just don't know. I think what's happening right now, the women's wrestling is really down on a wave of not looking too good, and they're going more with the TNA stuff, and there's going to be a lot of roster changes coming up in the near future as well. Unfortunately, I think some other talent's going to be let go. But for me personally, I really don't know. Some decisions you make along the way, to benefit you personally. I chose not to do Playboy last year with the whole Playboy evening gown match. I was approached a few times, and I don't know. For one reason or another, I kind of think that came around to bite me in the butt, that, there are a lot of other girls that will line up to do it, and, I don't know. That may be a portion of it.
Before I forget, I want to congratulate you on your recent marriage to Charlie Haas.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a little over 2 months, so it's great. It's great. Unfortunately, it's kind of like, hey, get married. Oh, here's your present. You're fired.
We can laugh
about it now. But
well, that's great. Obviously, the circumstances, you wish could have been better. Both lose your job at the same time. And
yeah.
When you were informed, what did they tell you the reasons for you and Charlie being let go?
They just said it was creative. I mean, right from the mouth of, when we got the phone call, just said it was creative, and they didn't have anything for us. Now, you know, you can get more technical and narrow it down to, you know, a few people in there or whatever, because the creative team is so huge. And there are great people on the creative team, you know, that have came up with fantastic ideas and ideas that have, you know, that have been great. But then, you know, some others you just, you kind of think twice about, unfortunately. But, I mean, that's actually the reason that was told for both Charlie and myself. So, I don't know. I don't know, but it's very, very frustrating. I know,
sure.
I mean, firsthand, that you're asked to give as much input as you possibly can, you know, whether it's, you know, running up to, you know, any of the writers or any of the agents or even Vince himself and, you know, saying, hey, I have this, you know, passionate storyline or this idea, you know, week after week after week after week. I mean, A to Z, anything, you know, dealing with all the girls to, you know, kind of coordinating everything together with the women since it's kind of in a lull now. It's just, you kind of throw your hands up and you go, well, you know, geez, how much more can I do and how much more do you want when you're going week after week with storyline ideas and then you're let go because, oh, we don't, the creative doesn't have anything for you and kind of makes you scratch your head and go, okay, there's, let's find the real reason here. But
exactly. Now, they just recently took back Spanky and Jamie Noble, and I was wondering if they gave you any indication that maybe somewhere in the future they would bring you guys back.
Oh, you know, I definitely think so. I know I'm going to be doing, you know, a lot more wrestling, actually even more so than, a lot more than when I was with WWE lined up here. So, I mean, I really haven't tapped into it, all of what I can be doing. And you know, maybe they'll see that other side of me in a year. So I don't know. As for Charlie, without any hesitation, I definitely think that he'll go back. You know, it was kind of hinted that way, and it still is hinted that way. You know, if, you know, here are a couple pointers, this, that, and whatever else. But I definitely think he'll be back. Me, however, if I were to go back, that's definitely something I would really have to think about and consider because I don't know right now. I really don't know if I would go back with that company or not.
Interesting. What's your biggest hesitation at going back to WWE?
You know, I would go back to wrestle. I would go back to be a women's wrestler, to be an athlete, you know, and they just so got away from that, and it's really unfortunate. But if I were to go back, that's definitely what I would want to do.
Okay. Now, when we had Charlie on, obviously he was very critical of Dave Lagana, who was the writer for SmackDown. I was wondering if you kind of thought the same thing as Charlie, that maybe he's kind of headed in for Charlie and yourself.
Well, first of all, I can't really comment on that way too much, but,
okay.
You know, it's unfortunately, I mean, like I said, you've got some great writers there that will go to bat for you for anything, and then you've also, you know, got some other people, you know, that you kind of look at weird, you know, from time to time, but that's a whole personal preference type thing, too, you know. You know, Charlie may have had his differences with him in the past, but then again, who has not had their differences? You know, who hasn't had their differences with Vince McMahon, you know, on national television before and been fired and been let back, you know? So it's like that.
You mentioned they have some writers, some good writers there. What's your overall opinion of the creative process in WWE?
I think it could be handled a little bit better. I definitely do. Like, I don't know if Charlie touched at all in his interview, but I know he always brings this up, but, you know, back when wrestling was hot, when wrestling was big, you know, even in the late 90s, and of course, you know, back in the 80s, you knew who everybody was, and everybody had a storyline. You just didn't hire an entire slew of people, or an entire roster of, you know, superstars, so to speak, and then you get there, and then they say, hey, what do you want to be? I mean, you know, Brad Pitt doesn't go into a movie, and the directors say, what kind of character would you like to play? You know, everything's scripted. And unfortunately, right now, it just doesn't seem like that time is given each and every individual superstar, which it should be. If they're going to invest their money in you, then, you know, it should be for the entire process, you know, not just to, you know, to go halves on it.
Did you ever offer any opinions about your storyline or your character on TV?
Oh, all the time. I mean, that was something that, you know, you could even do over email or by phone or, you know, in person. That was always done. And, you know, I don't speak for myself. I speak for the entire, you know, roster. A creative opinion was always, you know, was always wanted and was always asked for from the talent itself. But whether or not it was used, that was definitely a different story. Or used and given to somebody else or, you know, it just, Yeah, but you could definitely give input, but being used is a different case.
Can you share any of the ideas that you gave to creative?
Oh man, I can probably send you an email of about 500. Actually, this was one of the greatest, I think, ideas that actually myself and Dawn Marie came up with this idea when the women's belt was very, very stagnant, which it still is as we speak.
Sure.
But this was actually the lead up. This is one of the things that we were most passionate about, and it was like after this was turned down, it was kind of like, okay, now this is how they feel about women's wrestling, and it was really given, you know, shoved in our face. We had the idea of this was, and months before WrestleMania, when Trish went out, you know, with the belt, was in jars, and basically you didn't see the belt anymore. Well, we came up with the idea of possibly having one of the last mixed pay-per-views before WrestleMania. So, geez, what is that? It would have ended up being like about three months before Mania, I believe. Just doing a little promo with Trish, you know, in the locker room or whatever with the belt, and, you know, or a pre-tape, I should say, and just, you know, having the belt be there, and then coming back later on in the show, and Trish goes to get her belt, and her belt's not there. That starts off the whole thing of, okay, now you have Raw and you have SmackDown. Who took the belt? You don't know. So it's the kind of thing where the belt's missing for, you know, weeks at a time, whatever, and then finally it shows up that on SmackDown, the belt, us girls have taken the belt over there and saying, you know what, you know, for whatever reason, we could have made up some rule since the belt for however long was not, it was not defended, that, you know, there was no more women's champion, so to speak. You know, you can make anything up in the world of wrestling. But basically, it would have brought together an idea of that the women on both rosters would have been fighting not only for who gets the belt, but for what brand would get the belt. It's something that was never done. The women's belt has always been on Raw. It was never on SmackDown. You know, it was never something that any girl over on SmackDown could fight for. It just wasn't. So it would be a whole storyline of, you know, Raw versus SmackDown. Then you could do a bunch of, you know, inner side stories with that, you know, of, you know, maybe having Victoria and Trish, even though they hate each other, team up for the betterment of getting the belt back, you know, and then a couple girls on SmackDown having their own thing, and then basically taking it all the way up to Mania, and then having, you know, whether it be a tag team match or, you know, kind of like one representing SmackDown, one representing Raw, and whoever wins, that side gets the belt. And, I mean, that's just the, you know, just the short, even though it's kind of long and short version of it, but it was so, every single girl, everyone from Trish on Raw to, like I said, everybody on SmackDown as well, just had their inputs and their ideas into the story. And when we presented it, it was kind of like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. We can think about it, you know, and I guess it bounced around for a while and then just nothing ever happened of it. And it's like, well, okay, if you would rather have the women's belt still to this day not really be seen and not really be emphasized when it is, in fact, a championship and the only women's championship that you have, then it's like, well, you know, evidently there's really no reason, you know, to have women's wrestling. I mean, of course, there still is, but what's your main goal when you are a women's wrestler and, you know, when you're up at WWE? I think if you really have the heart to wrestle, you should, no matter what show you're on, I think it would be, you know, a dream to go up for the championship of that belt. And, you know, when that idea was kind of washed, it was like all of us girls were kind of like, kind of interesting, but...
What did you think of the storyline when you and Charlie were together on TV and then they had Dawn Marie kind of come in and get involved in the storyline? Did you like that? Or?
That was a lot of fun. Actually, it was. That was a lot of fun. That was something that that could have gone and should have gone and was going to go a lot longer, but just like any other storyline, ended very, very abruptly, unfortunately. That's your fact of when creative changes hands and stories change hands of people, and, you know, that was an unfortunate event. But it was fun, and there was so much more that we had planned out that we, you know, wanted to do, that we had planned out with, you know, specific people, you know, up there, and it just fell through. But it was fun while it lasted, and we can show our kids one day, you know, a match with us or whatever, which is always cool.
Yeah, I definitely thought they dropped the ball with that storyline. And
they did. It just ended at that pay-per-view, and, like, I mean, Charlie's character really came out, you know, people, he has a personality, like, you know, different than Charlie Haas of Team Angle. You know, he had his own personality, stood on his own 2 feet, and then it was, well, okay, never mind anymore. So.
That was the original storyline booked by Paul Heyman, then it was changed when he... Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he was there, and just like a lot of storylines, I mean, especially over on... Well, I shouldn't say especially on SmackDown, because he usually just would write for SmackDown, I believe, when he was there. But, you know, Paul's so passionate about wrestling and about the business and about writing and about making it that story that, you know, when he came in and when he wrote, even, you know, your average viewer or average fan, you know, that didn't watch it all the time, but you could tell a difference. You could tell a difference in storylines, and that there were storylines. You know, it just wasn't either, you know, a pie-eating contest or hot-dog-eating contest or, you know, this vignette or that vignette. You know, there were stories, and there were wrestling stories. And, yeah, Paul did start with that, and then, you know, Paul and WWE parted ways, and then that's when, you know, that's when that started to falter, so...
Right. Now, when we had your husband on, we were asking him about, did you feel like maybe these cuts were coming or you could be losing your job? And Charlie said that he didn't know this was coming at all, but he said at the same time he thought that maybe you could feel this was coming eventually, that maybe they'd let you go because of all the other girls they're bringing in. Is that what you thought, because of all the flux of the Diva girls, that maybe they would think you were expendable at some point?
Yeah, you know what, and, well, I guess just stepping back and looking, like I said, at the wave of how things are going, the wave that, you know, women's wrestling is down, and, you know, the whole TNA and, you know, whatever is up, you know, they're having girls rotating in and out and going in and out and in and out so much, and, you know, in my heart, I was kind of like, you know what, I can, not to be egotistical, but, you know, like I said before, whatever they wanted me to do, I could do, whether it be bump, whether it be, you know, be sexy at whatever time or whatever the case may be. You know, so I always had that inside of me that I was like, okay, you know, even the boss himself had, you know, said to me before numerous times, like, you know, thanks for being versatile. Thanks for, you know, whatever the job is that we need you to do. Thank you for doing it. And so... In my heart and in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, okay, you know, but at the same time, you just see all these new girls coming in and out, and you hear all these rumors and things, so you, of course, you get scared a little bit. But, you know, I was also told, like I said, by a lot of higher-ups that, you know, you have absolutely nothing to worry about, and not to say that I was worried, but when you kind of step back and look at the broader picture of things, you can go, okay, you know, you don't know, but as far as Charlotte goes, yeah, I mean, man, no one knew. Absolutely no one.
I'm still devastated. I'm just a big fan of Charlie, and
yeah.
Well, you know, we had him on the line, and we thought maybe they could, you know, put him back with Shelton or feud with Shelton, and just like they had so much they could do. And
oh, so much. I mean, yeah. They didn't tap into absolutely anything, you know. And I definitely know. I know you'll see him back. You know, you'll be able to see him. You know, wrestling, whether it is for TNA or, you know, if you can just follow things overseas or, you know, on the independents, you'll see him. You know, every single week, of course. But you know, back with WWE, that could be a definite possibility too.
Yeah, we definitely hope so. And last March of 2004, you were switched to the SmackDown brand. Why did they tell you were switched? And did you feel it was because they wanted you to focus less on the wrestling and be more of a WWE diva? Or what did they tell you were switched?
You know, that there's just, you know, new storyline opportunities to go over there. You know, the different girls will quit. And, no, I was never told that it was, you know, that it was for definitely one thing or another. But actually, when I was with Rico at the time, a lot of the emphasis was put on him, that, you know, Rico could, you know, could really do a lot more over on SmackDown and, you know, and have more guys to work with and everything over there.
Did you feel kind of personally that it was kind of a slap in your face? Because obviously the Raw brand is where the Diva or the women's title is, the women's division. Did you feel that maybe they didn't have enough confidence in your ability as a women's wrestler that they made you go to SmackDown and be more of a diva at that point?
You know, I mean, of course, things like that always cross your mind, but not so much. I don't think so. I don't think so much of that, because even at that time when I was traded, yeah, even though the belt and everything was still over on Raw, you know, you still didn't have much women's wrestling that much over on Raw still. Actually, over on SmackDown, you know, the girls were working a little bit more then too. But I don't know. That's a hard question to answer too.
We've always heard that obviously Raw is kind of the A show, and a lot of times it seems like the B show is SmackDown. Did you kind of get the same thing working from one show to the other, that you kind of thought that SmackDown was kind of the secondary show?
Well, I can say it's black and white. There definitely seems to be more emphasis, I guess, so to speak, with the writing and storylines, and definitely now all the characters over on Raw. Everyone is over on Raw. I shouldn't say everyone. I'm sorry. I take that back. You know, the majority of the superstars of the guys that you see merchandise with, you know, of all that are over on Raw. So I think definitely after this last trade, it was really shown. Before that, it was, you know, always kind of said that. That was always kind of thrown around, especially because Raw is your live show and SmackDown's taped. You know, you can just edit this or edit that or whatever. You know, but. I guess now, yeah, you can definitely see that. And there was a different aura about it, very, very much so, not just because it was a live show, but because it seemed bigger in a sense. It did. So being firsthand, you know, on both shows, I can say the crowds were much more alive, much more fantastic, you know, at a live show like Raw versus SmackDown. You know, right now it does seem like Raw is definitely superseding SmackDown.
Have you been keeping track of the WWE product since you've been let go?
Actually, no. I really, really haven't. Even when I was there, you know, it's the kind of thing where you're on the road, definitely on Raw. I'm sorry, on Monday with SmackDown, so you don't usually get to see Raw if you're doing a house show. And then Thursday, you know, you know that you can watch your stuff, or you can watch, you know, whatever you need to the next week at TV. So if you don't, you know, if you don't watch it, you don't watch it. So I should say, you know, a lot of guys up there don't even watch, you know, guys and gals, unfortunately, don't even follow it. But as I was let go, I mean, I really don't. And you know what, I have no interest in just hearing how things are going, you know, from whether it's, you know, people that are still up there, or whether it's just people that still watch the product. I have no interest in watching it right now. Just like how I said, I have no interest in going back. You know, it's a different story. You know, it's a different story if it were, you know, push come to shove and everything. But as of right now, I have no interest in it.
Okay.
Not wrestling, of course, because actually, I've met a couple girls actually, you know, on the independents. I met Tracy Brooks for the first time this last week, and Natalie Neidhart, who's you know, a third generation women's wrestler that I'm actually going to be doing a lot with here. I'm more psyched to wrestle now than I ever was actually at WWE. So it's not the wrestling thing. It's just I don't know what the best way to put it is, but I'm having fun again, I guess you can say.
That's great. Along the same way, you said, you know, work in indie dates. You just worked the ballpark brawl. You only got a chance to work with April Hunter and, as you said, Tracy Brooks and Natty Neidhart. There's other girls out there that you're looking forward to wrestling.
You know what? Well, actually, I know I'll probably be working with Gail Kim here in the future again. I actually had never, even though, you know, was up at WWE with Gail, we actually never worked together. We trained a little bit at OVW together, but never actually worked. But I think in the near future, we'll be able to be working together, as well as Nydia, too. Same thing, trained with her a bit, but never actually, you know, had a program or really worked with her on shows or whatever. And as far as, you know, I've always wanted to, Tracy isn't just another girl that I've always, you know, wanted to meet and heard great things about, so.
Absolutely. Going back to your days in Tough Enough, I think a lot of people were surprised when they selected two girls. Were you surprised by the process of selecting two girls? Did you kind of think it would be one girl and one guy, or what was your thought as that Tough Enough competition came to a conclusion?
I kind of had the advantage of seeing the Tough Enough 1 application versus the Tough Enough 2 application. So for some weird reason, even before I went for the tryouts for Tough Enough 2, it said there will be two winners, two winners of Tough Enough. It did not specify one male, one female winner like Tough Enough 1 did. I thought that was kind of weird, you know, the wording of it. Why did they put it that way? So that always stuck in the back of my mind. And then just the fact that, you know, just with going through the training and going through the process and everything, you know, and you know, just, you know, being with the trainers night and day and everything, you know, you kind of think, well, you never know. Maybe it may be two guys. It might be two girls. You know, what they just want to get what the best product is. But, you know, when push came to shove and it was that final episode and everything, and Linda's name was called first, I had ultimate faith in myself, you know, of being chosen. But then again, I'm like, well, I'm the girl that blew the knee out. You know, are they going to put money in somebody that, you know, that already, you know, got injured and everything? And would they choose two women? And, you know, she was already chosen and everything. So I was surprised. I definitely was. But in the back of my mind, there was always kind of something there. But I had confidence in myself, though, too, with that. I mean, I gave it my all. I definitely did. So
I think your scene there with the hot tub is probably one of the more famous scenes in the whole Tough Enough series.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatever, obviously, you know, with that relationship was...
All publicity is good publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity. I'm kidding. that's something I had to learn to understand there, so...
Okay. Tough Enough, what did you think of Al Snow, and did you ever work with Al Snow down in OVW?
No, I was never with him. I mean, maybe on occasion he would come in, you know, for a couple shots, days here or there. But, you know, I always said Al was like my dad in the business. He, you know, he's just a great person on top of, you know, being able to learn so much from. He helped everybody there, whether it was, you know, somebody that you just needed to talk to, or, you know, whether it was just a question about wrestling, or, you know, really, if you couldn't get something, you know, Al would be the person in there, you know, to help keep on training you until you could get it. I have nothing but great things to say about Al, and we actually still somewhat keep in touch, too, so.
That's great, and...
Along with the rest of the trainers, I should say that, you know, even though Bob's chops were sometimes quite painful and drop kicks to the face, actually we became pretty good friends and still are. He talks to Charlie all the time, especially over on SmackDown, and Chavo as well, and Ivory, she's just a nutcase, but...
I've heard that.
She's great, though. She's a great lady.
How long was the total training time of Tough Enough?
It was about 4 months. About 4 months, we trained Monday through Friday. It was basically like a 9-to-5 job. We had, you know, like an hour or so lunch break, but I mean, anything from running in the morning, you know, to calisthenics, then to, you know, just getting in the ring, working drills, learning moves. You know, we didn't actually even have that too many matches, hardly at all, actually. You know, before the end of the season, there's just so much to learn in wrestling. It's kind of hard to scrunch it all in there. You know, but then on top of that, you know, we had to also, you know, stay in shape and do the gym on our own time or whatever in addition we had to do, and then also that boot camp that we had to go through too, which was 3 or 4 days a week, which killed us. It was right after practice. So, you know, it's definitely coming up a different way than, you know, than independence and, you know, working on there for years and years and everything, and I was lucky, but I can say at the same token too, it was definitely hard training for those few months. Really, really tough.
How did you learn about the Tough Enough series? Or...
I was actually I was just sitting down one day, and you know, I think I had Ron, but I was probably doing some homework or something for school, and just saw it and thought, God, this would be really cool to do. I really didn't think too much of it, and that was kind of like just little things were popping up where it kept reminding me of it, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I just got into school and, you know, pretty much declared my major and everything, and, you know, I did not think for a second that I would get a call back. You know, I thought it was really cool. I started following it a little bit more when Trish really raised the bar for the women and, you know, started working more and everything and started wrestling. And like I said before, you know, I was getting into the fitness world of things actually right before Tough Enough. And then, you know, that all stopped with Tough Enough because I had to, you know, put my full focus on that and then, you know, going into WWE. So, you know, following girls like Trish and Tori and everything, that's, you know, that made me really have an interest in it. So just sent in the application and yeah, the rest is kind of history.
Excellent. Now, the one that you won Tough Enough 2 with was Linda Miles, and I was wondering if you've ever talked to her since then, because she's kind of disappeared.
Yeah, you know what, she really, really has, and I think she's almost disappeared from the face of the earth. I talked to her maybe one time after she had left very quick, brief phone call, and then, you know, tried to call her again, and she had gotten her number changed. I think she, a few people still see her, or I should say maybe even half a year ago, around the Cincinnati area, because that's where she's from. But yeah, she's, you know, doing absolutely nothing with wrestling anymore, and but no, I mean, I would love to still keep in contact with her, and, you know, try to get some contact information for her, but no, unfortunately, I tried, but we just kind of lost touch, so.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole big picture of this Tough Enough competition is a lot of the winners obviously have not done very well in WWE. You had Maven and Nydia, and then, of course,
I was hanging on by a thread there. I was the last one, because actually Maven was released the day before I was, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm the last one left. Yeah, but, you know, it's unfortunate when, you know, people have their opinion about Tough Enough, whether it exposed too much of the business or, you know, whether it was too easy of a way in. It drew money. It drew a different crowd. It drew more women into watching wrestling, because if you think about it, you got the MTV audience of things, then you've got, you know, the wrestling and the WWE audience of things. If someone would never flip the channel and watch any wrestling, anything WWE, you know, anything like that, they would sit, you know, you may find someone watching MTV, watching the Tough Enough show, going, oh, this is kind of cool. It really crisscrossed audiences there. And, I mean, there are tons of people that, you know, just know me from that show still, don't even know me at all from the world of wrestling. So I think it's unfortunate that, you know, something like that, that WWE just no longer has anyone representing it. You know, it was, of course, done with after the third season, and they kind of did that Tough Enough, you know, 4 thing that was on SmackDown, which still, you know, Daniel Peter, I think, fell off the face of the earth as well. But it's unfortunate when, like I said, when something is what you believe helping the company, or at least broadening the audience of it, and then for whatever reason, you know, it's just kind of pulled out from under you. And unfortunately, every single one of us, you know, has been let go. Matt Capitelli from last season, as I understand, is just getting injured and injured and injured, you know, once after again. So he's still down in OVW. And then technically the only guy that's still there is, you know, John Hennigan, who is with the M&M or whatever.
Do you feel the Tough Enough series, you know, you train for 4 weeks, have you come to the conclusion that in the grand scheme of things, that's just not enough training for pro wrestling?
For 4 months? Yeah. You know what, like I said, there's so much to learn. Every single, you know, we watched wrestling. Of course, everybody watched wrestling who was in the house and who was on the Tough Enoughs and everything. But no one really came from an amateur professional wrestling background, so to speak, or indie work. So everybody was just really new to it. And when you have wrestling is an art. It's like theater. It's putting theater and athletics together, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. Oh, these guys get in here and punch each other and, you know, make them bleed or hit themselves with chairs or whatever the deal is. And it really is such an art, and it takes such a long time to learn. But just having, like you said, those 4 months of just learning the moves, you don't even begin to touch on psychology yet. You really don't. I mean, you can be told over and over and over again, but it's just a process of doing it. It's a process of, you know, unfortunately, this is not done as much as what it used to be, but having a veteran take you and lead you through matches and help you learn, you know, whether it's being a babyface or heel, that's just, you know, that's something that's kind of a lost art right now with wrestling. And that was... that, of course, could not be given within those 4 weeks, the 4 months of training. So I think it is very soon, of course, you can always see that somebody has the potential or the capability of, you know, of really grasping it and becoming a superstar, but, you know, and I can't, and then again, they can't drag a show out for 2 years, you know, which is what it takes to actually begin to learn and understand the business, in my opinion, you know, so...
Yeah, you were just talking about the backgrounds, how, you know, not the guys and girls that were in the Tough Enough competition didn't come from a wrestling background or an amateur wrestling background.
A few of them came from amateur, you know, were collegiate amateur wrestlers, but no, like I said, I don't even think you were really allowed to if you worked on the indies.
Sure.
Weren't allowed to, because that's the whole thing. You get in there, you already know moves, you know how to bump, this, that, and everything else, you know. So.
Now, your background, as I remember, you were a runner.
Yeah, I ran cross country and track. for, you know, all the way from fifth grade all the way up through college. So that's my first love, running. I still go out there and run hours per day. But I played pretty much every sport under the sun while I was growing up, but that's really what I stuck to. So everything from 200 meters on the track to, you know, close to half marathons for races. So.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, actually you were alluding to it, this last season of Tough Enough was obviously a condensed version within the SmackDown show. What did you think of doing the show that way?
You know, I mean, I think they tried to do something for SmackDown, you know, guy-related, since they had the Diva Search over on Raw. And, you know, it's the same thing with the Tough Enough. Can you really, first of all, you know, $1 million is, that's a pretty nice prize there. But second of all, I mean, at least we were in a house for 4 months, you know, all together. You know, you had practice every single day, hours of the day, when, as I understood, these guys just would come in a day early, have, you know, a couple hours practice, if that, and then just, you know, be thrown right on TV, you know. I mean, just after 4 months isn't long enough at all, but, you know, being thrown on TV and doing these, you know, these challenges, so to speak. I mean, I think it would have been something cool if, you know, if they would not really have invested that much money into it. But then again, you know, that's not my call, of course. But I think they had a better reaction, better outcome from actually doing it with MTV versus just doing something, you know, for a segment every week on SmackDown.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, obviously they're doing the Tough Enough series on SmackDown, and you alluded to the Diva Search. What do you think about WWE finding girls through the Diva Search?
You know, like I said, unfortunately, I think WWE is World Wrestling Entertainment. Yes, it's entertainment, but there's also wrestling, and you can't really, I don't think you can really take out the common denominator of wrestling when it's supposed to be a wrestling show. So when you have this Diva, and don't get me wrong, Christy Hemme is a great, great girl. She has gotten her butt kicked time and time again, and she's really gotten in there and wanted to learn and has a passion for wrestling. But, you know, they're doing it the second year, and you know, who knows how long. This is when you kind of, I hate to say this term, but this is kind of what's thrown around, but when you have those 8x10 girls, you know, that are just thrown in, that, you know, some of these girls you've seen can't even stand on their 2 feet. You know, they kick and then they fall over or whatever. And I mean, it's still a diva is still about being an athlete. It's not about just, you know, being a model or being a sex symbol. I mean, yeah, even Stacey Keibler, you know, can get in there, and I shouldn't say even, but Stacey Keibler can get in there and work just because she's the skinniest, tallest girl we have, but that they have. But I just think it's a shame when the wrestling is thrown out of the equation, and that's exactly what the Diva Search is. So.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with that. I guess the biggest complaint that a lot of people have is it doesn't really matter who wins, because like in the last competition, a lot of the girls that didn't win, they brought on the show anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. You know, and there you go again with the whole creative thing too. When you just have these, you know, when you have, you're bringing in all these girls, or, you know, whether it's from the Diva Search or whatever it is, and then you don't put the creative input into it, it's like, you know, you just have a bunch of girls, you know, going around too, you know. But now it's not only girls that can't, you know, that aren't in the ring wrestling, you know, it's just a bunch of other, you know, a bunch of other girls too. So
absolutely. I think I know the answer to this one, but do you think you were ever given a fair chance in WWE?
You know what? I don't think so. I mean, I know that there's, you know, that I've had chances, and there's, you know, that, you know, being up there and then going back down to OVW and coming back up. I mean, I definitely know that I have been given chances, you know, been in storylines, been in 2 WrestleManias, which, you know, is crazy. The first ever WrestleMania I could have been, you know, I had a match in, which was really, really cool. But I guess a better way to put this is, you know, the potential wasn't even tapped or even given a chance to really do that. So.
How long were you at OVW after the Tough Enough series?
For about a year. Almost about a year.
And I want to say at the time you were managing Damaja?
Damager.
Who is Danny Basham?
Exactly, yeah, Danny Basham, right. Who actually came out on Raw, from what I understood, because Charlie was talking to Doug Basham. He came out as the Damager back to...
Right.
On Raw, and kind of... So it's kind of... I mean, you can kind of put two and two together and think of it as you will, but it's like just all these old characters are coming up again, repeating itself, and it's... it's nothing new, you know, which is, it's just the old, you know, and everything. But yeah, I was with him. I was actually in him and Doug Basham. There was a group called The Revolution, and I was there. Actually, Victoria was the girl that was the girl in The Revolution before I was. And she actually, I was the one to take her out when she moved up to TV for good and kind of took her spot.
Okay. What did you think of your experience at OVW, and what did you think of Jim Cornette?
You know, Jim Cornette is a character, I can tell you that much. You know, you learn how to cut a great promo, and you learn a lot of aspects from the business. He has such a great mind for the business, and he was never anything good to us, you know, good to any of us girls or anybody. You know, like I said, everybody's gonna have their own opinion about anybody, but I learned a lot from him. Danny Davis is fantastic. I mean, I don't know how many times he'd get in the ring, you know, especially with us, with you know, just with people or whatever, and work, you know, extra or whatever. But there's another, you know, great mind for the business, and Danny is just a fantastic gentleman. He's just a great guy too. And then we had a trainer by the name down there, Rip Rogers, who actually taught you. We took way steps back, and you know, from WWE to the old school wrestling of, you know, working the whole gimmick of the chain and the pants, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was cool to learn that, you know, you went back to chain wrestling, you know, every single day, and you know, and you need your fundamentals. And he really taught a lot of psychology down at OVW. Just the simplest thing that, you know, when things really do start to click, you go, oh, that's why I was talking about that, you know. So I learned a lot down there the year that I was. I think a lot mentally. I think there are a lot of good mental teachers there when I was there. So.
Great. And what did you think, obviously, just recently they let Jim Cornette go. What was your reaction to, you know, to them up and go Jim Cornette? I think, like, Paul Heyman is a very creative guy.
Oh, he certainly is. He certainly is. Like I said, Jim's, you know, always been a good guy to me and everything. He's, you know, he's had his little bouts or his issues here and there from, you know, even when I've been there. He's, you know, sometimes he's very short-tempered, and I guess that just happened one too many times, and, you know, they just said enough is enough, and you do have to act like a, you know, you do have to be professional, you know, for the most part of the time. And you know, and Jim is so passionate about the business. I don't think at that time, I don't think I've met anyone before I met Jim Cornette more passionate about the business, and you know, and more living it day to day. And I think that just took over at times. So
sure. What do you consider your career highlight in WWE?
You know what, being in WrestleMania 20, you know, like I said, actually having my first real opportunity to be in WrestleMania, and then doing it, you know, with, you know, Stacey Keibler, Tori Wilson, and Sable, you know, names that will always be known in wrestling. So that definitely was, you know, there's a different feel about walking out in Madison Square Garden, you know, in a match that you know, everyone, including the McMahon family, didn't even know that WrestleMania 20 would ever be possible, or that it would ever go this far. So to be in the Super Bowl of wrestling, and then, you know, to be in that match itself was great. And then, of course, I mean, one of the other highlights, you know, having a storyline with my husband now, and you know, that's really neat. So.
Absolutely. How did you and Charlie start dating? How'd you get together?
Yeah, we knew each other years and years ago, when I got down to OVW. Actually, he was kind of leaving as I was coming in, so we knew each other, you know, both of us were in current relationships or whatever before, and everything, and, you know, I always knew he was a great, great guy and everything, and, you know, just didn't really get to know him that well, but, you know, life takes its course, and, you know, whatever happens, and, I end up on Raw, and, you know, he's on SmackDown, so our paths never really crossed there either. And then when I was traded over, it just so happened that, you know, it's so funny now that you look at how things happen, and you say, you know, certain things happen at certain times, you know, both of us, for our own reasons, got out of the relationships that both of us were in two months before, you know, just completely on our own terms, and both of us swore that we would never date anybody while we were wrestling, let alone in the business again. And, you know, when you just find somebody that, you know, you should be with for the rest of your life, you know, no matter where it is, under what circumstance, you know, just happens. And when I got over to SmackDown and really, you know, started getting to know Charlie, and especially after, you know, being teamed up with Rico, Charlie and I, you know, it was just, it was inevitable, I guess, so to speak. So that's kind of how it started. When the storyline with us, that's really when we developed a friendship, and then, you know, and then it went on from there.
Do you think you and Charlie together at the time, being a couple, hurt you in any way? Because, you know, obviously we saw Kenzo Suzuki and his wife were also released at the same time, and there's already been some rumors that they may get rid of Tori Wilson, and we've seen, you know, Billy Kidman be released. Did you think in any way that, you know, you and Charlie together kind of hurt your status in the company?
You know what? Actually, being a couple, I really don't think so. I should say I didn't think so at the time, but yeah, kind of thinking about that now, they don't have anybody really together except for Stephanie and Triple H right now. You know, I kind of deep down, like how I said, you know, I could somewhat see me being released. Very, very much so over Charlie, who I would never have any clue. But you know, not to say that I have guilt of that, because I mean, of course, if they would have wanted to have kept him, you know, they definitely would have. But no, I know definitely looking at it that way, you kind of do go, what the heck? That's wrong, I guess.
Yeah. How'd you enjoy working with Rico?
I loved it, every second of it. You know, we still keep in touch with him pretty much, you know, as much as we can, and he's such a class act of a guy. He's just such a great guy. I mean, not to mention entertaining, just makes you laugh, makes you have a good time. You know, he has a heart of gold. He really, really does. And I learned so much from him. I learned so much of the entertaining value of just, you go out there and you react to what happens. You know, you're never going to know. And I learned so much of that, you know, from him. And just so much of the, you know, they say politics, so to speak, of, you know, of the business and everything too. He kind of took me under his wing too. You know, it's kind of like a big brother to me, and I'll always be very, very thankful for that with him.
How about an overall opinion of Vince McMahon?
Like I said, you know, he's a businessman first and foremost. You know, who'll do anything for the business. You know, I have nothing but good things to say about the McMahons. I mean, I really don't. They're a very, very successful family. They're a very, very determined family, you know, business-wise and everything. And, you know, Linda McMahon is great. So is, you know, Shane and seeing Stephanie and Vince, too. I mean, but it is. It's all about business. It really is. So when it comes down to it, you know, that's what it is.
Yep, definitely. I guess looking to the future, if TNA could TNA possibly be in your future and Charlie's future?
Yes, it certainly could. Yeah, I think you'll end up seeing both of us over there. I know that they're looking to expand the women's division over there, especially when they go over on to Spike. I've actually already been talking with them somewhat about that. So, and as far as Charlie goes, you know, I definitely think that he'll be over there as well. So that's definitely one venue and one way to go. And like I said, you know, they're starting their television October 1st. So,
well, that's great. I've been, you know, thinking about Charlie Haas against Samoa Joe, Charlie Haas against AJ Styles, Haas against Christopher Daniels.
Yeah,
three matches there.
Actually, he worked with Christopher Daniels, oh my gosh. He just had a three-way at the Buffalo Brawl. I'm trying to think of who it was. Chris Daniels and Chris Sabin, actually. He worked at the Buffalo Brawl, and, I mean, the match was off the charts. It was fantastic. One of the best three-ways that I've ever seen. It was great. So, I mean, he's really excited, too, you know, to go out there and be able to work all these people that he's never been able to work. And, like I said, same thing with me. You know, the doors just open so much wider.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, going back to you real quick, you said that you're getting a lot of phone calls, a lot of interest, obviously TNA, a lot of the indie groups. Is there any
I've gotten a couple bookings coming up here. I know I'm Charlie's roots are the All Pro, so I'm doing a few shows with him there as well, too. A lot of the stuff for me, you know, if it is independent things, I'll probably be going if Charlie goes, too. Keep posted. I'll keep it posted, and also on my website too, which will be up shortly. I'll update that as frequently as I can with you know, whether it's, you know, whatever it may be, whether it's wrestling shows or just tours or whatever. So,
are you getting a lot of interest for you and Charlie together? Are you getting some interest just for yourself?
Oh, yeah, for both of us together. Okay. And not necessarily to work together, so to speak, on the
right.
show. However, when we did go to Italy, both of us worked together a couple of the shows. I was the only girl over on that tour, so I managed him, or just, you know, him and Rikishi actually teamed up, and then I also reffed a couple of the main event matches with him in it, too. So, there is interest, of course, for the both of us, but more so on the independence, you know, it's for him to work a match as well as for me to work a match, so.
Well, that's great. This has been a lot of fun talking to you, get a chance to meet you. I think the website is JackieGated.com when it comes back up.
Yes, correct. It switched over from when it used to be Planet Jackie, but it's JackieGata.com. And like I said, it is down right now, just refurbishing it, but it'll be up within the next couple of days, and, you know, be getting new photos quite rapidly as well. So there'll be new pictures up there and new parts to the site and just kind of a whole revamping of it. So there'll be a lot of new things within the next few months, you know, to come. So make sure you keep on checking back.
Definitely keep checking out JackieGata.com. I'll get it right, JackieGata.com.
Yes.
And obviously you can check out Charlie at HasaPain.com as well.
Yes.
Both sites are down right now, take a little bit of a break, but both will be back up and running very soon. So I'm sure you'll keep us abreast on where you're going to be and where you're going to go.
I certainly will. No problem.
Excellent. We appreciate it, Jackie.
Okay. Thank you very, very much, Steve. Take care.
Thank you. Yep, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.